A feast already, have we not? Yeah, you've got a sermon to come. A brief sermon to come. So why don't you just breathe deeply, relax for a second, nudge somebody near you and wake them up. I'm going to grab a mouthful of water if I may. Then we're going to share God's word for this morning. With the aim of being through by 12 o'clock. Okay, let me show you some verses. We put them on the screen. This will serve as our reading. I meant to cross out on the contrary because that wasn't particularly my focus. But this is the Apostle Paul speaking. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. This is a very common way Paul speaks. There are some that misinterpret it as they think of him as arrogant. This is not an arrogant man speaking. This is a secure man speaking. He is absolutely certain of who he is in God. He doesn't need yours or anybody else's approval to be who he is. He's not gathering a group of people around him to make him feel big. He is big. Big in the sense that God has called him and he is just secure. He does not need the approval of anybody. He doesn't need a constant river of praise to be felt worthwhile. And that is a remarkable quality, would you not agree, about Paul? And it comes through his letters. This is not a statement of saying nobody's going to question me. It is simply this. I know who I am in God, which is a theme to one of the songs that we sang this morning. I know who I am, and in that position I can stand. He is a secure person. Truly remarkable. However, I would like to contrast that extreme, apart from Jesus, who himself said, I do not need the praise of men, only the praise of God. Apart from Jesus, I know nobody else who took such a battering and stood so tall. On the other extreme, I'd like us to talk about the Pharisees for a moment, whom Jesus addressed in very delicate words, calling them whitewashed tombs. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now that's a frightening position to be in. And they were the least of secure people. In fact, anything that threatened them, they had to put it down. They sought the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And I want to ask you a question. How is it possible that somebody could be voluntarily a part of something that they were following? You didn't just get born a Pharisee. You chose to be one. And that made you both a political leader and have a value set that believes that God is in heaven, that he rules the world. There's an afterlife, there's a resurrection, they believe in angels and demons. And yet at the same time, Jesus addresses this, that you are something else on the inside than what you are on the outside. How is it that you could fall that far? I mean, if I were a Christian, well, I am actually. I know some of you doubt that, but I am. I'm fairly assured of that. And I choose to come to church, and then I start to think I want to behave not as a Christian and develop a secret life. Why do I still come to church? What's in my head? I could be having a barbecue now, not standing here. Why would I choose to do that? Yet, without wanting to sound critical, our country, our world, is filled with people who apparently believe one thing and secretly behave another. What's wrong with them? Typified is utterly destructive to Christianity in church organisations that are being exposed as holding up piety and misbehaving with children. And what effect does that have? No wonder Jesus was so cross with the hypocrisy and the Pharisees. Whitewashed tombs. Who wants to be like that? Why whitewashed tombs? Very simply this, is that if you were really pious, you don't touch bones. You don't touch anything dead. That's against the law to touch anything dead. And just in case you might go for a walk and accidentally tread on top of some bones that are under the soil that is now contaminated by the bones might now contaminate your feet and you may not be pure. So they actually marked graves with white paint and tombs with white paint so that you could stay pious and holy while you walked on the earth. God help them. Is that not just madness? Utter madness. There is a passage in 1 John, we can put it on the screen, that you may not at first see immediate connection with. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' son purifies us from all sin. I want to make a point here. Is a lot of people would say, walking in the light, if you walk in the light, you can see where you're going. I don't believe that's the context of this passage. I believe the context of this passage is if you walk in the light, you can be seen. And if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship with one another. How many of us know that there are two sides to us? There are times I panic because if you find out what I'm like, and so I try my best to be, Graham, stop it now. He tries to exert an influence just at the wrong moments. There is an integrity to not hiding in the darkness. There is an honesty that is required of all of us. And all of you know that when we're honest, we have fellowship with one another. Amen? Then it goes on to say, if you pretend you haven't sinned, you make God out to be a liar. It's very clear. And I want to be a part of a church that doesn't model a piety that isn't lived. None of us can quite get there, but we'll do our very best to get as close as we possibly can. We should not seek the praise and approval from God. Sorry, we should seek the praise and approval of God rather than the approval and praise of people. So 2 Corinthians says this. It'll arrive on the screen in a second. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. That is the one that we should be fearing. That is the one we should be following. And incidentally, it sounds like I'm changing subject. I'm not. I've got a link to this even if you can't make it. So here it is. How many of us can remember being told by our parents or telling our children, say you're sorry? Yeah? Isn't it more important to be sorry? Yeah? Now, I do understand why we say you're sorry is because somehow you have to learn to say sorry. But being sorry is far more than words. In fact, I believe God would say to us today, if your repentance doesn't cause you pain, it is shallow repentance. We have to learn to be sorry. So when I pain Mal in some way, or she pains me, when I do that, it's not all right just to say, I'm sorry. I have got to convey to her that I really am sorry. And then I have to work to show her that I am prepared to be different. Amen? Cheap repentance, just words, I'm going to say something that sounds dreadful. All the emphasis of our songs today is nothing will stop God pursuing you. You can be forgiven of everything. Don't make light of it by, it doesn't matter because God's forgiven me. Ooh, there's a phone. I think probably somebody set their alarm and it's time to stop. Okay. John 12 says this. At that time, referring to the Pharisees, said many among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Isn't that different to how Paul sees himself? And so I want to introduce you to now another idea that you'll find in the book of Hosea. I've just been reading Hosea. Can you read that? Yes, you can. Good. I want to draw an emphasis that once you start having a secret life, what happens is you start to plant something. And it is inevitable that you will reap. And so here the instruction is very simple. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, until he comes and showers righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, and you have eaten of the fruit of deception. You get the message? So the Apostle Paul said, a man will reap what he sows. Not devaluing forgiveness, it is quite simple. You will reap what you sow. He that sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He that sows to please the flesh, from the flesh shall reap destruction. How many of us know you don't plant and reap on the same day? It takes a season to do that. So if I've got something that's wrong in my life, I can either coat myself in an exterior or I can start to seek the Lord and break up my fallow ground. Just recently, Mal and I read the book of Chronicles. I knew time would be really against us. I wanted to put a list on here, but it goes something like this. Josiah did not follow the ways of his fathers, but sought the Lord, and the Lord blessed him and established his kingdom. So-and-so did not seek the Lord, his heart was evil, and he established Baals. Moab attacked him and beat him. So-and-so, Hezekiah, sought the Lord, and the Lord blessed him and gave him great wealth. Manasseh, or whoever, followed false idols. He became sick and died. Did somebody miss the message? Because you're talking about 17, 18, 19 generations of people for whom those that sought the Lord became established over time, and those that planted wickedness reaped evil. And not only them, but those that they were responsible for. Lord, please help me to plant well. Proverbs says, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a reward. There isn't, oh dear. The overemphasis of any truth leads to error. Most Christian streams are works of God. They are carriers of truth. So here's a truth. A Christian is one who believes that new life, grace, and forgiveness can only be found in Jesus. That it is a free gift and has only to be received. It cannot be earned. It teaches, the Bible teaches that no sin is so deep that it cannot be forgiven. And that his love is deeper to deal with all our sin, past, present, and future. That's all good. Error. That Christians can therefore go on doing just as they please with impunity without reaping a reward. He that sows unrighteously will reap evil. We need to learn that and make sure that the interior as is the exterior. Amen? So we're going to look at seeking praise from God. Most of us think that we should be addressing today our praise to God. The Bible talks a great deal about God praising people, more than you would think. So when Jesus came up out of the water, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you know what I'd like to, I could not think of anything else nicer than to be spoken over your life than that. Just the most wonderful thing. So John 5 says this. Notice the highlighted bit because of time, we'll just go to that. "How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?" It is from him we should be seeking praise. Now I know, again, here's an honest bit about me. After every sermon, when we drive home, the first question I ask Mal is, "Was that all right today?" That is a mark of my insecurity. Would you ask the same question? Not to Mal, obviously. You probably would. And I want her to say, "Oh, you were wonderful." And the moment she says, "Yeah, okay." She's harsh. It's actually a mark of my insecurity. I would love to be like Paul. Says, "I don't need the approval of men, only the praise of God in heaven. For I know I have his approval, and I know that I'm called by him." Wouldn't that be a fantastic place to be? We crave significance. For by it, it cements a sense of well-being. Now, don't get me wrong. If the person next to you looks really nice today, turn to them and say, "You look really lovely." Or if it's a man, "You look really hunky." Or whatever. There's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with complimenting and encouraging and building each other up. There is a responsibility as the body of Christ to do that. But you must recognize that if you have a need of it, it's like a drug. If you cannot find your security in God, you start looking for the fix. You start fishing for the things that secure you for who you are. You're longing for somebody to reinforce that. And I believe God's word for us today is, know who you are in God and stand up. Stand in that. You are utterly secure in who he is, the ministry he has called you into, the abilities that he's given you. And yes, you have failings, loads of them. Let us walk in the light. Let us be like Paul, who had come to terms that he was both frail and called by God. And he stood up into his own shoes. He knew who he was, and he didn't need anybody else to constantly pat him on the back to make him feel encouraged. Amen. Isn't that a great place to be? Amen. Do you know, we're just about through. I do believe it's like a drug. And I do believe you can get addicted. And like most addicts, the feeding of their habit is destructive not only to them, but to those that are in their presence. God help us to become more like Paul and less like the Pharisees. God help us to address that way before we've gone any distance down the road of being whitewashed sepulchres. God help us to stand in integrity and anointing and calling and know who we are in God. You may think this is an appropriate scripture to use, but I believe that Jesus, he says it, "I do not seek the praise of men." He never allowed anybody to make him king because he knew who his father was and what he was called to. It's my conviction, you know, how many would like to be a really famous public person? Would you like to raise a hand if you'd like that? Oh, go on, you're kidding. How many of you would like to really duck and be a nobody? You know, not famous. Do you know, it's my belief that many people who in public life are actually insecure people, and they're craving constant approval and appointment from others. If you think you are popular, that makes you significant. God deliver us from that kind of attitude. And you know what? Jesus' brothers believed that he was like that. What a misjudgment. So this is what they said, our closing scripture. No one who wants to become a public figure, acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Did Jesus want to become a public figure?
No.
No. Was he a public figure?
Yes.
Was that his agenda? He knew exactly who he was. In fact, the Bible says when it comes to the washing of the apostles' feet on the day that they, the Last Supper, it just said this, knowing whom he was, where he had come from, and where he was going, he got down on his knees and washed their feet. His sense of identity was so good that he didn't need the approval of men. And I simply want to say to you, you do not need anybody else's approval. If your life is in integrity, you want God to be making you who are you walking in the light, and you know your calling, you can stand up and say, I know who I am. Do you know what? Just forgive me. I'm just going to have to dig myself a hole. But do you know what? I'm not a church leader because I'm popular. Thanks, Alison. I'm a church leader because it said so in heaven. You're who you are because it said so in heaven. And hell can't take it away. It just can't, because that's who you are in God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? Father, we want to pray that we will be vulnerable to you. Help us to be really vulnerable to you. Help us to hear both your criticism and your approval. For your words to us always come in love. Help us to know our identity. Help us to stand up. Help us not to be depend on other people's approval. Help us not to crave that. Help us to be generous in giving it to others. With honesty, love, and integrity. And would you help us, Lord Jesus, to know who we are in you and stand in that place and lead lives that bring glory to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Tea and coffee will be served in just a moment.